Second and 10.5 at the 19.5-yard line of Cincinnati. Takes the snap. Dalton back. Looking near side. Throws it. Picked off. And an open run. It's Joe Hayden. And he's in. Touchdown.
Oh, and A.J. Green is frustrated.
You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Joe Hayden, the Cleveland Brown, for the next 5 years, signing a five-year extension worth reportedly $68 million, according to Joe Hayden's own Twitter handle. $68 million, 45 guaranteed. He will be a Cleveland Brown through the year 2019 and is the highest-paid defensive back in the NFL as we speak today, as well as the highest-paid Cleveland Brown. Kudos to him. We were talking about Minnesota just a moment ago with Mark Craig from the Star Tribune in Minneapolis. Their new quarterback, Teddy Bridgewater, guy I was a big fan of here in Cleveland. But apparently, Jim, Theodore Bridgewater, not as big a fan of Cleveland. This is what he had to say on the Dan Patrick Show earlier today.
They've been in contact with you.
There was a chance, but, you know, I actually told my agent that, you know, that's not the place where I wanted to be.
Really?
Yeah, throughout this entire process, I felt comfortable, you know, with the Minnesota Vikings from every visit that I had with the team. You know, it was a family environment, and the players, great guys, great group of guys. So I felt comfortable wanting to play here.
I was told by somebody.
Well, there you go. How about that?
Interesting. Well, you know what? Things work out for a reason, and I, like I've said, I was a huge fan of Teddy Bridgewater. I thought that he was right up there at the top of this quarterback class alongside Johnny Manziel, and I'm happy that he's in the NFC, and I'm happy for him, since he's not here, that he's somewhere he wants to be. But I think that's an unnecessary comment to make at this point.
Yeah, nothing gained by that. You know what's amazing, though, really? Think about last Thursday, okay, when everybody had kind of mocked themselves out. Okay, this is my final mock draft.
38.0.
Yeah, 38.0. This is his last mock. Let's face it, he was a given on all of those first-round sheets at number 26 that he was coming here. That the formula was, maybe they move at 4 and maybe they go to the corner, maybe they stay in at 4. But at 26, it's a quarterback, and it's Teddy Bridgewater.
Well, I think the expectation was that Johnny would be gone by that point, and that would be the next guy up, and I would have been fine with that. It makes me a little bit bummed out to hear that he wouldn't want to be here. I actually talked to him the day before the draft, and
how was
he
then? Down,
he absolutely was excited to come to Cleveland the day before the draft, as a matter of fact, Jim. And he did say, though, that he felt he would be the biggest steal in this draft, and we'll see how that bears out. But now let's hear from Ray Farmer, who had, I thought, a great draft, stuck to his plan, worked his board, got tremendous value with the six players that he drafted, the final of which was Pierre Desir, a cornerback many people thought was worthy of second-round consideration. Farmer let everybody know, and again, the report that came out saying that Teddy Bridgewater's name was on the ticket until there were 10 seconds to go, and then it was mandated by Jimmy Haslam, was called laughable, absolutely absurd. In fact, I think it's a direct quote from Jimmy Haslam when I spoke to him yesterday, beyond laughable, according to Mike Penn. And I'm here to tell you again, as I did yesterday, 100% false. Never happened at all. Farmer, in fact, goes on to reiterate that Haslam did not tell the Browns to take any players.
I can tell you 100% certainty that Jimmy Haslam at no point demanded, requested, tried to influence the process in any way. He definitely asked questions. He'll definitely give his opinion of what he thinks, and all of those things are fine. But at the end of the day, he trusted the football staff to make the decisions that we thought were the right decisions for the football team.
Yes, and Ray Farmer, you go. Yeah.
Can I tell you what that answer sounds like? It sounds like it sounds like the next line should be, "Your Honor, may I approach the witness a little bit closer?" That's like a courtroom answer.
And I think it's gotten to the point where it's kind of laughable in this building that the perception is that Jimmy Haslam would influence a pick. I can tell you again, with 100% certainty, 100% knowledge of the situation, I've been told this by people who would know and were there, that without question, Johnny Manziel was the number one quarterback on the board for the Cleveland Browns. There was no doubt when they moved up, they were drafting a quarterback. They got their top guy. That was Johnny.
And, of course, remember now, there was a story even before the draft that Jimmy had gone in to Ray and Mike Pettine and said, "This is your draft. I mean, I'm going to be in there. I'm going to ask a ton of questions, but this is your draft." Ray went on to talk about, you know, handling the Johnny Manziel celebrity factor, because there are, you know, Johnny's different now from all these players. There's the football factor, okay, but with him comes the celebrity factor, and Ray dealt with that.
I don't think it's difficult to handle. I think you have to have a game plan and a strategy. And like I said, when we drafted Johnny, he does have celebrity. He's a polarizing type of personality to some degree, or the legend of Johnny Football, if you will. People have created this swell around him. And part of our job is going to help him learn how to deal with that in a professional manner.
And that will be a challenge, and I think the Browns already have a plan, starting with telling him, listen, you're going to come in here, you got to earn your keep, you're not going to be handed anything, earn it, play into that ultra-competitive nature, Johnny Manziel, and show us why you need to be the starting quarterback when it is your time.
You know, Nathan, it's always good, though, to have a quarterback that has been in big, big games, and yeah. How he has handled that. You know, he went into Tuscaloosa. He was always the target. He seems to enjoy that. And if you enjoy it, you relish that, then you play to it. I mean, sometimes, you know, and I think even here and certainly around the NFL, there are quarterbacks that get a little bit timid of the stage, and they play themselves into a game. Whereas this kid, he loves it. I mean, bring it on.
It.
Yeah,
yes.
Come on, let's go.
The bigger the moment, the better, I
There's
think,
There's nothing bad
Manziel.
About that.
Nothing bad about that, because you need somebody here, honestly, that is comfortable changing the culture. In my opinion, you need someone who is comfortable handling the big moment, handling the burden, and turning things around with this great team that they've assembled around him. And it starts, there's something intangible about the great quarterbacks. A lot of them can be perceived as, you know, tough-nosed competitors who would just as soon rip your head off to get what they want. And I like that. I like that about Johnny Manziel. And I like that about Brian Hoyer as well. Farmer was asked, when Johnny didn't go to Dallas, is that when he moved over Teddy as the prime quarterback? And I think you're going to enjoy this answer.
I will say that in the first part of the question, Teddy Bridgewater definitely was a young man that I definitely liked the person. I thought he was a really good college player. I thought he did a lot of positive things. I'm happy for him that he landed in the first round and went to Minnesota, so congratulations to him, and I wish him the best of luck in his career. With regards to our decision-making process and how we really looked at Johnny Manziel, we paid attention to where we were in the draft, what teams' needs, if you will, were, and where the opportunities were for him to go. We monitored those situations, and when we felt like we had an opportunity to get him, we took him.
He was the top guy. He didn't have to move over Teddy. He was the prime quarterback and the top target for them at that position in this draft.
Well, obviously, there was a great deal. There was a late surge by the Browns of, a lot of interest on him. I mean, they went down there. He came here. It was all compacted. And, of course, so much was made of the fact that they weren't at the initial one, right? The one that was televised across the world, his initial workout. I mean, they were represented, but the big gang wasn't down there at that point in time. Now, they talked, as the first round went on, I mean, they were a mover. The Browns were moving all around from 4 down to 9 up to 8. And then, of course, they made the move up to 22 from 26. But in the middle of the round, they were thinking about moving too, and Ray dealt with that.
We definitely called. We called Tennessee. So we spent time calling a lot of clubs from Tennessee all the way back to Philadelphia. And so we monitored the phones. We made phone calls. And from my perspective, like I said, there was a bundle of players that we were interested in.
I got to believe that when they were calling up to 11, that was also for Johnny Manziel. So it's got to feel like a tremendous win to know that you only had to move up to 22.
Now, somebody said that they were actually calling to go and get Odell Beckham.
Possibility as well, who's a wide receiver that I know that was very highly thought of in
there
this building.
Yeah.
Which could have been interesting, because you could have made that move and then feasibly made a move from 35 to 22 if you wanted to then get Manziel and come out of here with that. Now, on the back end of your draft, you wouldn't have had Betonio. You probably wouldn't have Kirksey. You probably wouldn't have had Terrence West, because you would have given up so much to get there. But certainly that could have been a way that the Browns were going about it. And for all the fans who had the roller coaster of emotions, the Jim, I know you and I had Thursday, feeling high. Friday morning, you're great. Friday afternoon, wonderful. Friday evening,
6 o'clock.
Ouch. What did Ray Farmer say to fans who think that the Gordon situation overshadowed what I think was a great Browns draft?
I would say that frustration is a natural part of it. And I think that's what was felt and heard when that announcement was made. So I don't fault the fans for their reaction. I don't fault anyone for being disappointed. To that end, it's our job to make those decisions less painful. And in time, you know, it's no different than if a player was going out during the offseason and broke an ankle or tore an ACL playing pickup hoops or doing something different. You know, from we have to build a football team that can win regardless of who's missing.
Well, that's true. I mean, you got to move on, you know.
You got to move on. But I think he acknowledged the frustration. And
yeah.
I thought that was good. I thought that was a very good answer
right.
from Ray Farmer in a very difficult situation, one that we still ultimately, Jim, don't know the outcome of.
Well, here's the other thing, too. If they knew a couple of weeks before this, that's still very close to all the work that they had done all year long to suddenly blow up your whole draft. That's essentially what you would have been doing. You would have been tossing all of that work out. Okay, let's say it was 2 weeks before that they, hey, there's a problem with Josh Gordon. All right, well, let's draft then. We got a draft to fix that right away. Well, what about all the work we've done? Because we have other needs.
They did, and I think if you look at the Browns and you were to look at their starting lineup going into this draft, mm-hmm. you would have said the biggest need, obviously, with Josh Gordon out of their wide receivers on the list, but number two cornerback, mm-hmm. an offensive guard,
yep.
quarterback, obviously,
yep.
to get somebody to compete with Brian Hoyer. You probably needed an inside linebacker who could cover.
You definitely
I think anybody who watched us on third downs last year would agree.
Right.
And you needed another running back in there. And those were the things that were addressed, and then you get Pierre Desir to throw on top of it. Receiver is the one that remains, but I think when you look at what Mike Pettine has seen work, you look at three of the four best teams in the NFL last year, Carolina, San Francisco, Seattle, all won with great defense, great running games, and passing games that were in the bottom 10 of the league. No big wide receiver production on those teams outside of Anquan Boldin.
Yeah, now I even want to, you know, it's so easy to take a look at Seattle and San Francisco because, I mean, they were great teams. But look at the group that we played against in New England. Look at what New England did every week, all season long. I mean,
right.
Gronkowski wasn't ready. Hernandez was in jail. Okay, that wiped out the tight end spot. And then the wide receivers, I mean, that was every
right.
week there's a new guy in there. And look at what they did with that.
Well, and that's why the key to this ultimately is the quarterback.
Right.
If you have a quarterback
yeah.
like Tom Brady or Russell Wilson has proven to be with Seattle, you can make receivers who are considered to be subpar better than they appear to be. And one of the things with the Seattle, Carolina, San Francisco situations is they all had a mobile quarterback who helped make their ground game more effective and who was also able to make bigger plays for their offense
right.
with their mobility and improvisational skills. And hopefully that's what Johnny Manziel can bring when he plays and Brian Hoyer can bring while
yep.
he's under center because of his mind and more of the Tom Brady style, winning cerebrally, making good decisions, getting the ball out quickly. I think the Browns are in a good situation as it relates to that. When we come back, Jim and I are going to play after further review here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford.